people quit smoking for a number of reasons. I mean, some people quit just straight out of health implications. Some people quit out of the economic. Every time the cost of cigarettes go up, it just really, you know, it gets them more and more upset, and then finally it hits a level that they just can't take anymore. Many people nowadays are quitting for social reasons. Now, this may not be true, again, throughout the world, and these videos, I think, are being seen throughout the world. So this may not apply to you, the concepts I'm talking about now, today. But understand that the concepts that I'm talking about in this video didn't always apply in parts of the world now where smoking is kind of like, you know, so shunned that it's almost outlawed. I mean, there are whole countries now that don't allow smoking anywhere in public places, including their bars, their restaurants, their any place where people, you know, gather publicly. People are not allowed to smoke. This was a concept that was unheard of 10 or 20 years ago. Nobody would have believed that a country would do this. It was surprising enough when a city would do it, and then a state, but for a country to do it, I mean, this is remarkable. But this is where things are heading. There are people who are going to say to themselves, I'm not going to let society tell me what I can and cannot do. You know, you're not going to put up with, a government coming out and telling you you can't smoke, and you're not going to put up with social pressure. Well, you know, you may believe that you're going to smoke no matter what, and that it's your right. But sooner or later, the rule of the public will override. And again, this may not, you know, be a concept you like to hear, but you better understand the reality of the statement anyway. You know, if I was doing a talk 100 years ago on health, or 150 years ago on health, I wasn't talking about smoking. It didn't really exist back then. I wasn't talking about cancer or heart disease. If I really wanted to scare the public, those weren't diseases I talked about. Oh, they existed, but they weren't the major killers they are now. If I was going to do a talk 100 years ago on health, and I wanted to scare the audience, I wanted to do something that was just such a hot topic that it was sending, you know, terror to the people listening, I would have talked about tuberculosis. Oh, man, saying TB 100 years ago was kind of like saying AIDS, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. You know, here we have this disease that's spreading rampantly. We don't know the cause. We don't know the cure. If we get it, if you get it, you're going to die. Before you die, we may lock you up and keep you away from people so, you know, you can't spread it because we didn't know how it was happening at that time. This was a frightening illness. Well, that's what TB was like, you know, when you go back to the turn of the century and the last century. Terrifying illness. There's a pretty good chance that as I was doing this talk about this disease, that we didn't know what the cause was and what the cure was, and it was terrifying people. There was a pretty good chance as I was doing the talk, there was a little copper bucket somewhere in my vicinity. And this was a real practical device. It was called a spittoon. See, the purpose of the bucket is if as I'm doing my talk to this audience, I get a little bit of phlegm in my throat. You know, that can happen. I had the luxury that if I wanted to, I could bring up this wad, spit it in front of you all, you know, spit into the bucket, and, you know, make a clean hit so, you know, it wasn't like I was making a mess outside the bucket. And if you thought that there was something wrong with me because, you know, I spit in a bucket in front of an audience, and you thought there was something wrong with me, there was something wrong with you. Because back at that point in time, spitting was common. It was sociably acceptable. People could spit anywhere, anytime they want. One of the reasons that spitting had gone this direction was because of chewing tobacco. Cigarettes were not the method of delivery, of choice, back before the 1900s. I mean, cigarettes weren't even mass-produced. They had to be hand-rolled. It was chewing tobacco, which is how people were originally using it in high quantities, you know, back in the last century. They didn't realize some of the problems that were going along with this. And one of them was the fact that it was creating this, you know, extra saliva production. It was causing the sputum effect. And people had to expectorate it out. And so we had receptacles. They were very ornate sometimes. We had these great receptacles in places of businesses and in museums. We had these things in people's homes. This was what was the norm. They found out that the germ that was spreading tuberculosis was being spread through sputum. Well, all of a sudden, people started getting a little bit alarmed about this. You know, one job became really, really unpopular. It was cleaning out spittoons. I don't think it was ever a real popular job, but now it's becoming really unpopular. Unpopular because this stuff that they're cleaning out has the germs that was spreading this disease that was terrifying everybody. So spittoons started disappearing all of a sudden from people's homes. and from places of businesses and from other public places. Now, there were some people back then who, I will assure you, said, I'm not giving up spitting. It's my God-given right. I've been spitting all my life. You're not going to stop me. Yeah, and for a while, they probably pulled it off. For a while, they probably continued spitting even in the face of society saying, you can't do this anymore. But come on. It's come to a point now that if you get a family member or friend who comes in your house every day, and spits in your ashtray every day just because they want to. Hey, if they do it once because they're choking, okay, you accept it. You're not happy about it, but you accept it. But if they do it every day because they think it's their right and their choice that they can spit in your house wherever they want, whenever they want, well, hell with them. You're throwing them out of the house, and you're never inviting them back again. That's what's happening to some people who are smokers today. They're going to their family members' homes. They're going to their friends' homes. They're going to homes of people who gave them the first cigarette they ever had in their life. They were their smoking buddies, but the smoking buddy has now quit smoking. And then all of a sudden you're there. You may not even know they quit yet. And you ask for an ashtray and they say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't smoke anymore here. Please don't smoke. And you could get mad. You get really mad. You think, are you nuts? You taught me how to smoke. You're my smoking buddy. What do you mean I can't smoke anymore? You can contest it. But pretty soon, that person will very likely make it clear that you can't smoke here. And this is happening in more and more places where people are isolated and can't smoke in public, even though they believed that they were going to be able to have the right. I know when they started banning smoking on airlines, that there were people, who I had in clinics who, when they were first talking about, they were going to start to restrict smoking on airlines, who were saying, oh, forget it. If they ban smoking on airlines, I'll never fly anywhere again. Well, these people are going nowhere at this point in their life unless they can drive, because they're at a point where you can't smoke on buses, you can't smoke on planes. It may get to a point you won't be able to smoke on boats. I mean, who knows? The directions things are heading, if you really watch them, people who continue to smoke, thinking like it's because it's their right, they are going to be so limited on what they can do throughout their life. It's not worth it at all for the luxury of maintaining a drug addiction that's killing them. See cigarettes for the problems that they are going to cause, not just what they're going to cause medically, but the social limitations and restrictions. It gets to a point that there's nothing you'll be able to do in public, because you're going to be a smoker. And so now you'll have the luxury of sitting at your home and smoking by yourself, totally isolated from the world. This is the type of life that people are sometimes destined to live because they won't give up their cigarettes. If you don't want to get into this kind of trap, it's not saying to make society happy. It's just saying so you can function within a world, which is really making smoking harder and harder to, do in every environment that's necessary for you to be able to really work and function and enjoy things, to avoid ever having to be trapped in a society that restricts where you smoke, meaning you're going to be in withdrawal when you're in these restricted places. To avoid that type of chronic withdrawal that many smokers face this day and age, is still as simple as remembering, quit, get over withdrawal, and understand you'll never have to face it again, as long as you make and stick to that personal commitment to never take another puff.